1 Samuel 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Let us pray. Father, thank you for motherhood and the family. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today and strengthen everyone, man and woman, young person. May everyone get a principle here today from Hannah's life. As we look at this portrait of a surrendered life, may we learn how to be more surrendered to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, motherhood does not get a lot of encouragement from our society today. Most of you have noticed the media, when there are television shows about family, it's normally just a bunch of whacked out people that are belittling biblical principles and making fun of fatherhood or motherhood. Oftentimes, the media portrays the family in every way except the biblical way. And then we've heard for years from the feminist movement how they deplore the concept of a mom investing in the life of her family. They deplore the concept of a woman that would give herself to her children and many times belittle this in the classroom. And then, of course, we think of the abortion rights crowd. And what kind of a message does that send for motherhood? Just to kill a child while it's still in the mother's womb. There's a lot in our culture that speaks against the family and against motherhood. But the church is a countercultural institution. The church is a called out assembly. And we're not here to reflect what's going on in the culture. We're here to reflect what God's word teaches us about how to live the Christian life. And so today as a church, we honor motherhood and we honor the family and we applaud every effort that is given to place virtue into the heart of a young child. In fact, the Bible says concerning godly mothers in Proverbs 31:28, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. And that's what we're here to do today. We're rising up and we're saying, thank God for mothers and thank God for the influence they have made upon our lives. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who had a godly mother. John Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mom than all the theologians of England. And so it has been throughout all of time that moms have a way of teaching us about the virtue of life and about the characteristics we so greatly need in our lives. And one of those moms that we learn about in the Bible is a mom by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a woman who had great difficulty, but she learned how to trust God, and her legacy lives on for all of us today. I want you to notice in your notes this morning, Hannah's difficulty. I want you to see this woman was a woman that was challenged in her family. And in verse 2, we read about it. It says, and he, speaking of her husband, Elkanah, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penaniah. And Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, I want to say as we begin this morning that being a good mother does not mean that you will always have a perfect family environment. It does not mean that everything's easy, and sometimes it's just the opposite for moms. It can be very difficult. I heard about a dad that came home and he saw his daughter sitting on the front porch there, and she was kind of pouty, and he said, what's wrong? And he said, she said, Dad, all day long I've been having trouble with your wife. And sometimes moms have troubled days. Sometimes they have difficulty in their day. And what made Hannah's situation even worse was the fact that she was in a polygamous relationship. The fact that her husband had disobeyed God and had also married another woman. Now, this was practiced at times in Jewish history, but it was never God's will. It has never been God's will for a man to have more than one wife. It was God's will that he would cling to his wife. But this was during a period of time somewhat reflective of the period known as the time of the judges. And the Bible says in Judges 21:25 that in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they were just kind of making it up as they went along. And many times this is what happens when men are rebelling against God, and this is what many false religions do. We know, for example, that in Mormonism and in Islam, there is the practice of polygamy, and yet we must state from the Bible that it is certainly a sin indeed. I heard about a man that was once discussing this matter of polygamy with Mark Twain. And of course, Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon Church, both were polygamists. Brigham Young had 78 wives. And Mark Twain was saying that he felt that was unbiblical and immoral and wrong. And in fact, he said to the polygamist, and he said rather to the Mormon, "Tell me why you think it's right. Give me one Bible verse that says it's right." And the man could not give a verse, and so finally he said to Mark Twain, he said, "Why don't you give me one verse that says it's wrong?" And Mark Twain said, "Okay, no man can serve two masters." And I thought that was a pretty good answer. Now, as we look into Hannah's life, we see that Hannah was married to a man, Elkanah, who had taken another wife outside of the will of God. And this was a great difficulty for her, because the other wife had children, and she did not. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore and made her to fret because the Lord had shut up her womb." So I want you to notice Hannah's difficulty. And in the first place, I want you to notice that she was barren. I want you to take note of the fact that Hannah, the first thing we learn about her is that the Lord had shut up her womb. And this was especially difficult for a Jewish woman because it was honorable to have a man child in their culture. And the Bible does teach us in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." By the way, in a society that says children can be disposed of, God says, "I place great value on the child." And in fact, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God said to Jeremiah, "When you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you." And so it was, even as we read about John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, the Bible says, "And the baby leaped in his mother's womb." It doesn't refer to John the Baptist as a fetus or as tissue, but God recognizes life in the mother's womb as a life indeed, the life of a preborn child. And so it was that Hannah did not have such life. She was barren and without a child, much like Sarah, who was barren until she gave birth to Isaac, much like Rachel until she gave birth to Joseph, much like Elizabeth until she gave birth to John the Baptist. And we learn in all of these Bible stories that God is the one who is sovereign in the giving of life. And so it was with Hannah. The Bible says her womb was shut. And God was allowing this time of adversity because he wanted to do something in her life. And so she was barren. But it was worse than that. I want you to notice, secondly, she was belittled. She was always being ridiculed by the other wife. And I want you to see that in verse 6. It says, "Her adversary provoked her sore." She was constantly being taunted by this adversary. Constantly she was in distress. The word provoked meant to vex her or to grieve her. And you see, the fact of the matter is today, all of this was because of a disobedient husband. And I want you to understand that anytime someone moves away from God's plan for the family, there will come strife and disharmony. Whether it was this polygamous relationship, whether it is adultery, or whether it is some other type of moral sin, whenever a man moves away from obedience to God, it always grieves the heart of a wife. It always grieves the heart of a child. And so it was because Elkanah had disobeyed God. Hannah was thrust into this very difficult situation. And every year, this was more difficult for her. Because as their family would travel to Shiloh, and as they would go to make sacrifice at the tabernacle, every year Hannah, who was barren, would have to hear these criticisms from the other woman. She was constantly being belittled. And it caused her, the Bible says, to worry. Notice in verse 6, it says, it made her fret. To be in distress or to have much anxiety. I've counseled many women whose husbands were unfaithful. Terry and I have prayed with them and talked with them through these difficult times. And the level of anxiety is hard to measure. The hurt and the difficulty, very, very serious indeed. And whenever sin comes into one's life, there is always pain that comes along with that. And that's what was happening for Hannah, that she was fretting and she was worried. Spurgeon said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it empties today of its strength. And perhaps today you have an anxiety. Perhaps you have a hurt or something that has made Mother's Day a little less than you thought it could be. I want you to listen to this message today and learn from Hannah, because we're going to learn how to turn a hurt into a hope and how to take a difficulty and turn it into a delight by the power of God. I heard about a lady that was filled with anxiety, and she called a nurse at the hospital, and she said to the nurse, she said, I'm so anxious. She said, I'm diabetic, and I think I've had way too much sugar today. And the nurse said, well, are you lightheaded? And she said, no, I'm a brunette. And she wasn't really that anxious, but she got through her difficulty. Perhaps you've got something way worse than that. Perhaps there's something in your life like Hannah, a great difficulty. Well, I want to show you what to do when that comes. When you have those difficulties, I want to show you what Hannah did. I want you to see how she responded. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. If you're taking notes, I want you to notice Hannah's dedication. Hannah did the right thing with her trial. She didn't go on Facebook and start complaining. She didn't get on Twitter and start promoting. She didn't call people and start gossiping. Hannah went to God. Hannah learned how to take her burden to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Psalm 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. You know, every one of you that had a mother that prayed, you ought to think about that this morning. You ought to think about the fact that you had a mother who learned how to talk to God, and that God is an eternal God who still hears and answers prayer, and He wants to hear from all of us. And Hannah came to the Lord. You see, the beginning of anxiety, George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, but the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. So when Hannah put her faith in the Lord, her anxiety began to diminish. God began to bring peace into her heart. Now, notice first of all her prayer. In verse 10, Hannah prays to God, the Bible tells us. She prayed unto the Lord. There was only one who could change this situation. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Prayer touches the heart of God and causes great things to happen. Psalm, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, you don't have to do everything right as a parent, but there's one thing you can't get wrong, and that's this matter of prayer. Don't forget to pray for your children. Don't forget to pray when troubles come into your life. Make sure that your heavenly Father hears about your kids every day. Talk to God about your family. Talk to God about the burdens on your heart. Hannah was a woman of prayer, and she knew how to bring her heart to the Lord. I heard the prayer of a mom recently, and it touched my heart. She said, Father, forgive me for all the tasks that I didn't get done today. But this morning when my son toddled in and said, Mommy, play, I simply had to say yes. And between the puzzles and trucks and blocks and dolls and old hats and books and giggles, we shared 1,000 special thoughts, 100 hopes and dreams and hugs. And tonight, when prayer time came and he folded his hands and softly whispered, thank you, God, for Mommy and Daddy and toys and French fries, but especially for Mommy playing, I knew it was a day well wasted. And I knew you would understand. Never forget to talk to God about your children. Never forget to bring your burdens to the Lord. One of the great lessons we learned from Hannah is that she was a woman who knew how to pray. We see her prayer. But notice, secondly, her promise in verse 11. It says here, she vowed a vow. She vowed a vow. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, then I will give him back to you. Now, how many of you have ever made a vow to God? Any of you? I remember one of the first times I did. I was in the seventh grade. We were on a missions trip to the Philippines. We got in a little Cessna plane at the Manila International Airport with a few missionaries and pastors. We got into that plane and we got up into the clouds and fog. And all of a sudden, I looked at the instrument panel and I noticed there were no instruments, only round empty holes where there were supposed to be instruments. Normally, when you're in an airplane, you at least want one of those things that tells you are in relation to the ground. You understand what I'm saying? That did not make me feel very secure. The other folks on the plane noticed it as well. They got white with fear. They began to pray to God to help them. I began to pray to God, and I promised God everything you can possibly imagine. I said, God, I'll be a missionary. I'll be a pastor. I'll do anything. Just get us down out of this plane. Some of you may have wondered why I am a pastor. Now you know. I vowed a vow. And I believe that many of us have vowed certain vows to the Lord. And certainly Hannah vowed a vow. She said, God, if you'll give me a man child, then I'm going to give him back to you. If you will give, then I will give. You see, Hannah was not merely bargaining with the Lord, but she was willingly offering to do her best. Now, I don't know what kind of vows you've made. You've made perhaps wedding vows. Was that before the Lord? Maybe you've made a vow to God in the past at a revival meeting to be faithful in church. Maybe you've made a vow that you would tithe. I don't know what kind of vows you've made, but I want to encourage you today. I want to be your encourager to keep your vows. I want to encourage you to be like Hannah, to be someone that vows a vow and then lives that vow and honors God in that vow. And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, a man child, there will be no razor come to his head. And what that is signifying is that he was going to be what was called a Nazarite. He was going to be one that came in and that literally served there at the tabernacle and was faithful to help in the service of the things of the Lord. Hudson Taylor had vowed a vow that he would one day be a missionary. He was born in England. He said, Lord, I'll be a missionary. I'll go to China as a missionary. He met a beautiful girl. They became engaged. Her father one day was speaking to him about his future and said, listen, you can marry my daughter. You can do anything in your life and career. You can go anywhere except the Orient. I do not want my daughter to live in the Orient. Hudson Taylor had made a vow. Hudson Taylor had made a vow to God that he would be a missionary in the Orient. Finally, the day came when he had to break the engagement off. His heart was broken. Her heart was broken. But Hudson Taylor had vowed a vow. And I just encourage you today. The Bible says in 3 John and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And here we see a woman who vowed, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll do everything I know to help him walk in the truth. I vowed to you, God, to help my child walk in the truth. That was her promise, that she would do her best as a mother. And then notice not only her prayer and her promise, but notice her performance. In verse 19, the Bible says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hananiah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. Notice in verse 22, Hannah went up not, for she had said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. You see, just like she said she would, at around age 3 or 4, when the child was weaned, she brought him to the house of the Lord, and there she gave her son in dedication. Now, folks, I've got some good news for you. The Lord's not asking any of us to drop our children off at age 4 at the church. Maybe that's good news for the pastor. I don't know. But he's asking all of us to be willing to give our children over to the Lord for whatever they might want to do. in our early service this morning, several of the parents that attend our church have children that are missionaries in China and Honduras and in other foreign countries. And just as these parents did this morning, they gave their children to the Lord at an early age. And they said, Lord, however you want to use our child, it doesn't matter where you want to use them, so long as they're living for you. If that means Samara, Russia, or Honduras, or El Salvador, wherever you want to use them, Lord, here are our children. We give them to you. And Jesus only had one prayer request in the New Testament. And Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And mom and dad, if your child ever has a leaning towards ministry or towards going somewhere to preach the gospel or helping a missionary or being a preacher in some foreign land, we ought not to hinder them from doing that, but we ought to remember that we were the ones that vowed a vow and we said, Lord, if you give us children, whatever you want from our children, we give them to you. That was the heart that Hannah had. She dedicated her children to the Lord. Well, we see her difficulty. We now see her dedication. Would you notice with me finally this morning, her delight. Notice how God turned her difficulty into delight. And that's what God does best, isn't it? Notice in chapter 2, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Here we see a woman that was so bitter and distressed, and now God has answered her prayer. She has kept her vow, and now she is delighting in the Lord. Notice Hannah's delight, first of all, is in God's deliverance. God had made a way. In verse number 1, down through this chapter, she mentions the Lord 8 different times. She's not talking about herself. She's not talking about her son. She's honoring and praising God for what he has done. And so she is thanking the Lord for his deliverance. And secondly, thanking the Lord for his strength. In God's deliverance and in God's strength. Notice verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Now, ladies, please understand this. One of the great secrets to Hannah's success was that she did not look to Elkanah to be her rock. Her rock was the Lord himself. Most of us men are not rocks. We're pebbles. We're sand. We're dirt. We're clay. We're dumb. Whatever, you fill in the blank. And a lot of the marriage counseling that I've done deals with what we call unmet expectations. A man who thought his wife's job was to keep him happy. And a woman who thought the husband's job was to keep her happy. And those are misplaced priorities. Thank God for helpful wives and helpful husbands. But God never intended for them to take his place. God wants us to learn that he alone is the rock. That he alone is our joy and our satisfaction. And that when you're right with God, everything else can work out. And here we see a woman who wasn't trusting in Elkanah. She was trusting in her rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you may have a guy that's got muscles on top of muscles. He may be some kind of a rock physically, but he's going to disappoint you along the way somewhere. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never fail you. And he will never disappoint you. And this is what Hannah is telling us. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Yes, it hurts when human relationships fail, but Jesus never fails. And that's what Hannah learned. She learned how to trust in the Lord. And that's the testimony that she gives to us. Psalm 31 says, bow down thine ear, deliver me speedily, for thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And so we see that here was Hannah delighting in God's deliverance, delighting in God's strength. And let me show you one other mom thing as we close. She delighted in God's service. She delighted in God's service. She didn't think going to church was a hassle, neither did most of your moms. She didn't think it was like a real impediment on herself to get to God's house, to be a Christian. Look at what the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, moreover, his mother, speaking of Samuel, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now get this, and I'm almost done. At the beginning of our story, when Hannah went to Shiloh, when she went to worship God in the tabernacle, her heart was heavy. She was displeased. She was under stress and anxiety. It was difficult. It was worse with every passing year. Now, we read of a mother named Hannah, and she can't wait to go to Shiloh. She can't wait to get to the tabernacle. Samuel is there. Her son is there. She's going to see him. She's going to worship God with him. And year after year, she made little coats for him. She was helping in the ministry. That's what we do when we support our missionaries. That's what we do when we give to the Lord. We're helping. We're serving. And here, Hannah wanted to be a part of God's service, bringing these things to the tabernacle. Oh, listen, moms, thank you. Thank you for the little things you make. Thank you for the little things you do. Thank you for the way you encourage your children to God's house. Thank you for being here and having a testimony this morning. Like Hannah of old, you have learned how to turn some difficulties into delight because you had a rock, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as long as he's your rock, you'll continue to be that testimony that God wants you to be. I was talking to my brother Mark the other day about our mother. My mother has been battling with Alzheimer's these last several years, and they took her recently to a clinic over in Arizona, hoping to get her into a trial procedure, and she was too far along to qualify. Mom doesn't really recognize us right away. She definitely doesn't know our grandchildren and many other things. And as we have been praying for her, and as we visit her from time to time, it's more apparent that the disease is progressing. And as they went to this specialty office, my brother said, "Paul, Mom visited with 6 different medical professionals along the way, 4 doctors and 2 nurses." And he said, with every single one of them, as soon as they were introduced, Mom said this, "Sir, do you know that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know that the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you know that the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved?" And my brother said she's forgotten many, many, many things, but she has not forgotten the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus Christ, and that everybody needs to have Jesus in their life. A lot of us have remembered all the unimportant things, but we've crowded out the most important thing. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a rock, if you don't have the rock, Jesus Christ, in your life, then you're missing the most important thing. And you might know who's in the playoffs, and you might know what's for lunch, and you might know what you're wearing tomorrow, and you might know that the oil needs to be changed, and you might know the names of all your grandchildren, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't know nothing. Friend, make sure before you leave here today that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that heaven is your home. Let God take those disappointments and turn them into delights as you trust Him every step of the way.